This is Sunday morning, 2/5/23. This is a teaching called Keeping the Law of Prosperity in Motion. All right, Genesis 8:22. The Lord sure looks at things different than we do, doesn't He? All right, Genesis 8:22 says, "While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease." So until this earth is no longer new heaven and new earth, I guess, until this one is burned up or however it's going to be disposed of, this law will be in motion, even through the millennial, as far as I know. All right, right after the flood, God set this in motion. After Noah got off the boat. All right. Now go to Genesis chapter 26. Verse 1. "And there was famine in the land." Ugh. Seems like there's always a famine in the land, right? Somewhere. "And there was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, in Gerar. And the Lord appeared to him and said, Go not down into Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of." That's what his father did. He got a whole heap of trouble. He got in a whole heap of trouble. "Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and will bless thee, for unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because that Abraham obeyed my voice, and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws, and Isaac dwelt in Gerar." Then verse 12 says, "Then Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him." This is in the time of famine, and he got maximum return because he did what God told him to do. "The man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great. For he had possession of flocks and possession of herds and great stores of servants, and the Philistines envied him." This is, you see here, two financial kingdoms. One is God's, the other is the world. Then it goes on about the wells being plugged up. And the devil trying to get Isaac in strife. He wouldn't get in strife. He's kind of like Abraham. Well, let's read it because it's worth listening to. "For all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham his father, the Philistines had stopped up and filled them with the earth." Not getting a return you want? What's going on here? The wells are stopped up. "And Abimelech said unto Isaac, Go from us, for thou art much mightier than we. And Isaac departed thence and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. And Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father, for the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. And he called their names and after the names by which his father had called them. And Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. And the herdsmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdmen, saying, The water is ours. And he called the name of the well Esek, because they strove with him." You know what the Lord said about the love walk? The body of Christ is only as powerful as their love walk. Thinking, God, we're in a horrible shape, Lord. "And they digged another well and strove over that also, and he called the name of it Sitna. And he removed from thence and digged another well, and for that they strove not. And he called the name of it Rehoboth. And he said, For now the Lord hath made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land." Sounds like to me, he said, y'all can just have it. He moved on. Don't get in strife. It just jams up the works. All right. When you see the obedience of Isaac, and we see the provision of the Lord, His father Abraham got into a world of trouble when he went down to Egypt instead of staying on his land. All right, Genesis 12. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curses thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So God told him to leave. All right, verse 10. And there was a famine in the land. And Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. And it came to pass when he was come near to enter into Egypt that he said unto Sarai his wife, behold, now I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon. Therefore it shall come to pass when the Egyptians shall see thee that they shall say, this is my wife, and they will kill me, but they will save thee alive. Say, I pray thee, thou art my sister, that I may be well with me for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee. And it came to pass that when Abram was come into Egypt, the Egyptian beheld the woman, that she was very fair. And the princes also of Pharaoh saw her and committed her before Pharaoh, and the woman was taken to Pharaoh's house. So he just got totally off, picked up the slave skank, you know what I'm saying, that caused all the trouble in their life, delayed their blessings. Yeah. Could the famine stop the harvest? It didn't for Isaac. But disobedience did, didn't it? Disobedience is what stopped the harvest. The Lord of the harvest, because of Isaac's obedience, caused him to receive a hundredfold even in famine. Here is that obedience is better than sacrifice and action. You know what sacrifice is? Self-preservation. It's your taking into your own hands, kind of like with the word about the Lord of the harvest, where you take it into your own hands. Well, I'll just give this big amount. Surely the Lord will see that and he'll bless it. No, it's obedience. It's moving with the Spirit. Well, Lord, will we give $100? No, give the $3. Really? $3? Just $3? Do you see how we just reason about things and can... All right. Kingdom finances bypass the natural. It causes a supernatural to kick in. Divine supply. Cast your bread upon the waters. You'll find it again after many days. We're going to look at that. That's Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Verse 1, cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Give a portion to 7, also to 8, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. Yeah, there's liable to be another famine. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. If the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, and the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. In other words, the world's going to be the way the world's going to be. He that observeth the wind shall not sow. He that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. If you observe the economy, you won't sow. If you see what's going on and how much you have to pay just for a dozen eggs, you won't sow. As thou knowest not what is the way of the spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand. For thou knowest not whether shall prosper either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. In other words, like the stock market. It's always been rigged. Truly the light is sweet and a pleasant thing. It is for the eyes to behold the sun. But if a man live many years and rejoice in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they shall be many. All that cometh is vanity. Sounds like a man that stepped out in the flesh a lot, doesn't it? Solomon had 1,000 heathen wives. They turned his head. They turned his heart from God. All right. If you're looking at the economy or whether you will sow or not, you will sacrifice by not being obedient. Oh, I just can't. I just can't, they say. In other words, by letting self-preservation kick in, you will lose out. If you stay obedient, the Lord of the harvest is obligated to provide for you no matter what the economy is. Because the kingdom of God is not based on the economy. All right, Galatians 4, 22. For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. That's verse 22, if I didn't say that. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise. Which things are an allegory, for these are the two covenants, the one from the Mount Sinai, which engendereth the bondage, which is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with her children. We're still under the lash. We're coming out, but we're still under it. This system that we're in. But thank God we can operate in another system even while being in that system. All right. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, rejoice, thou barren that bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For the desolate hath many more children than which she which hath a husband. So there's more walking in the world system than there are in the kingdom of God, is what that scripture basically means. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what saith the scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Hagar and her son says, have you seen how much eggs are? God's kingdom says, who cares? Who cares how much eggs are? You don't think I don't know how much eggs are? What is this all about here? It's all about soulishness or walking in the Spirit. Remember all those years ago, is it Art Katz was his name? Came to our church, talked about soulishness, and the whole church plunged right into soulishness. They criticized the prophet, and they didn't hear a word he said, and they suffered for it. All of us suffered for it. Yeah. There will always be downturns in the economy because of the God of this world's control. He's not after you prospering. He wants to rob from you, steal, kill, destroy. That's his agenda for you. And all of his stock markets, all his investment programs, all of his stuff is not going to get you ahead unless God speaks to you and says, invest in this or do this. I wouldn't touch it. People are silly, especially nowadays, to be in something like that. All right. Let's look at some prosperity scriptures here. Luke 10:38. Kingdom prosperity scriptures. What it tells you to do to prosper. And I mean be led by the Spirit. Just because it's in the Bible does not mean that you just do it in your flesh. It means you wait on the Spirit to speak to you. And He'll speak to you out of the Word. He'll confirm it out of the Word. Luke 10:38. Kind of like we were talking about diet. All food is clean, but that don't... And you may eat everything from time to time, but you can't eat everything all the time. Now it came to pass after they went... Wait a minute, 10:38. No.
6:38.
It's 6:38, not 10. Yeah, that's the one. Let me write. I put 10. Okay. Just like I said, $3. Well, this kind of shows you why, right here. Luke 6:38. Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall be given to your bosom. With the same measure you meet with that ye meet, wait a minute, the same measure that ye meet with all shall be measured to you again. I think it's about 6 or 7 times greater. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. All right. Isaiah 1:19. Is that right? I hope I didn't get that one wrong too. I think I wrote this one down wrong. Oh, I'm wrong. It's 19. Okay, 1:19. If you be willing and obedient, if you be willing and obedient, let me say that again. If you will be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Yeah. 1 Samuel. Chapter 15. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Let me read this again. Now pay close attention. And Samuel said, hath the Lord great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. He's talking about doing fleshly, soulish giving. Just give to give. Bigger's better. As opposed to obeying the Lord. For rebellion, we're all guilty. Nobody's pointing a finger at you today. If I was pointing at you, I got 3 pointing back at me. For rebellion is the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is in iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. Pretty strong, right? The ones that were obedient did better and lived longer. Abraham died at 175. Isaac, 180. Jacob died at 147. He tells Pharaoh, I have not nearly reached the age of my forefathers. He was off his land most of his life, and he mourned for his son. I think he took years off of his life. Regardless of the economy, we must get in a mindset of God's provision and no longer fret and get in the flesh. Time for us to operate in the grace of giving. Many years ago, back when we first got into the Word of Faith back in the 80s, the Lord gave me this principle on giving because I was taking my paycheck. I was taking my paycheck that I got. And I was just sowing it to all these ministries and doing all this stuff. I wasn't led by the Spirit. I was just doing it because it's the Christian thing to do. Especially Word of Faith. Brother Copeland, Brother Hagin, you know, Fred Price, you know, just. This is 2 Corinthians. Chapter 9. We're going to start with verse 5. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty, whereof ye had noticed before, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not as of covetousness. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. That could make you think bigger is better, right? I believe it's more consistently than it is anything else. Every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. So the grace of giving is Spirit-led giving, from what I understand. So letting the Holy Spirit lead you in your giving. Okay, Lord, I believe I'm supposed to give here. How much? Let him tell you. A lot of people giving away the farm. And they just did it because they didn't understand. And then they suffered. It's like Charles Capps used to say, you know what? Somebody, you know, gives a car away and the Lord blesses them with a nice car. He said, here comes an old boy. He said, man, I think I'm going to do that. And he gives his old junker away and he says, he ends up walking for 6 months before he gets something else to drive. However, I got the point across whether I got it right or not. But still, that's the truth. If he wants us to walk in the Spirit and everything else, shouldn't finances be the biggest part of it? The grace of giving is an unspeakable gift. For when you get a hold of it, you will win, for you have allowed Jehovah Jireh, the Lord of the harvest, to take control of your seed time and harvest. And he never fails. He doesn't experience crop failure. Never. Never. Remember Isaac. He stayed put. He sowed seed. Hundredfold in famine. The Philistines are going, get away from us. You're better than us. Yeah, you are. The children of the kingdom are better than those of the kingdom of darkness and all their stuff. One final thought. When you allow the Lord to lead in this, then he will open up avenues that you haven't even thought of. See, by getting in the flesh and just doing it, you cut off the supernatural, its entry into it. It's all here in the earth. God made the garden full of riches. Go read Genesis 1 and 2. Think about Peter coming to Jesus about the taxes. Jesus taught him to go fishing. Most people say, say what? Yeah, get out of town. Boy, that lunatic over there, what'd he do? He went fishing, just like the song that we sang. That piece of money paid for Jesus' taxes and Peter's. And then they had the fish. You know, he said, your share of this is the fish, you know. How about feeding the multitude with a can of sardines and a loaf of bread? Well, let's think about it. Jesus probably could have gone into town and bought stuff. He wasn't poor. He chose to teach him a lesson, divine supply. The supernatural kicks in when we get out of the natural and quit trying to figure everything out and stop pestering the Lord about it. If you have obeyed, then act like it is done and prepare yourself for harvest. Prepare prepare for harvest. Are you ready to sing your song on harvest? All right, it's short today, so won't you just come sing your song?